Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A very good Monday to you. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. As a reminder, speaking of the studio, we are going to have a new studio because this show is going to television. Starting on January 2nd, we are going to simulcast the jungle live on TV for the first time ever. Okay, actually, that's not true. We've done it before during Super Bowl, but that's on location at Super Bowl. The show that you listen to every single day is going to be on TV starting January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. You want to make sure that you have CBS Sports Network. That's the first thing you have to do. Make sure you have it. Make sure your system carries it. And if not, find a way to get it because the jungle is coming to TV. I went and saw the studio late last week. We are putting the finishing touches on it. It's beautiful. I'm pumped. So we're going to have a brand new studio. We are going to have digital capabilities. And this show is going to be on TV starting January 2nd. All 3 hours live on CBS Sports Network. Make a note of that and look for it. That's coming up then. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686, toll-free nationwide. And in Canada, we start hour number two by talking Detroit Lions football. We're joined by running back for the Lions. Four carries, 35 yards, three receptions, 12 yards, and a touchdown in that win yesterday over Cleveland. For the season, he's got 32 receptions, played his college ball at Notre Dame. 199th pick overall in 2013. Detroit's 5-4. They're second in the NFC North. They're at Chicago on Sunday. Theo Riddick is my guest. Theo, it's great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. All right, so you guys were in a battle with Cleveland yesterday. They had a 24-17 lead in the third quarter before you tied the game with an 8-yard TD. So let me start right there. Take us through the touchdown. What did you see on that play as it unfolded?
Obviously watching film study, they usually tend to run the wheel linebacker out of there, and he actually ran to cover our number three receiver. And once that kind of happened, we kind of just ran an angle route, and it was a soft part of the zone, and Matt found it.
Theo Riddick joining us. Simple as that. Now, you guys pulled away in the fourth quarter. You ultimately win 38-24. Over the last year and a half, this team has developed a reputation as one of the best teams in the second half and fourth quarter of games. So what's it say about the mental toughness of this team, the way that you guys keep coming through the way you do late?
I mean, I just say we have a lot of poise. We're very confident as a unit. So, again, it was a slow start here and there. We played a really good defense. And, my hat goes off to them. But overall, we just kind of just weathered the storm.
You know, you go back to that touchdown, it seems like you and Matthew Stafford have really, really good chemistry. But he said that when you first arrived, quote, he used to juke me out all the time. I'd throw one way, he'd go the other way, end quote. So what were those earlier days like, and then how were the two of you able to get on the same page?
reps obviously helped us. Being here for 5 years, and able to communicate with him what I want to do and how I see things makes it a lot easier for him to kind of put his feet in my shoes when I'm out there. So that's why we're on the same page for the most part. But, again, every defense is very tricky week in and week out. So it just goes down to a lot of film study.
Theo Riddick joining us. Now, you've got a reputation as one of the great ankle breakers in the NFL. So when you're in space and you drop a defender with a cut, what's that feel like? And do you even notice when they go down? Do you have any empathy for the guy that goes down, or do you just not see it and just keep going?
No, I mean, I don't care. I try to break some ankles, man.
right?
So I go out there with that purpose. I want to embarrass, every opponent and every defender, obviously. And, and vice versa, they want to hit us as hard as they can and try to slow us down. So it's a great game that we play week in and week out. And, I'm just happy that I have the ability to do so.
I knew that was the answer, too. Theo Riddick joining us. Now, back in spring, you were doing one of your hyperbaric chamber sessions, and you were watching some Netflix, and you came across this documentary called What the Health. Before we talk about the doc, tell me about the hyperbaric chamber sessions. What are those things like, and what do you get out of using it?
Obviously, it adds more blood flow to your body, so it speeds up the recovery. Obviously, throughout the week, and after the game, your body is really beat up. So that definitely contributes to that. And the documentary that I came across was What the Health, and definitely kind of changed my perspective in terms of eating. Definitely want to be a cleaner eater. Be more conscientious of what you're putting in your body, because you only get one body. And that's what I think people fail to realize. And it's kind of crazy, you know, in terms of the detail that we don't know about the foods that we eat daily.
I think it's 100% true. I mean, you are what you eat, but how many of us really know what we're putting in our body? You watched that thing, and then you reached out to a number of your friends. Like, specifically, what did you see in the documentary that made you so motivated?
Well, I mean, as an athlete, again, I mean, you want the best for your body. And, you know, for me personally, I was a lunch meat type of guy. And I thought I was always, you know, doing the right thing, eating healthy by eating ham and turkey and all those things. But what you fail to realize is the amount of GMO that's put in there, it definitely harms the body tremendously. And it takes so long to digest. And with that being said, it slows down the recovery process. And, again, we want to be to the best of our ability as an athlete. So if I could just cut that down, that's going to help me in a lot of areas. So just like little things like that kind of, you know, obviously was eye-opening. But, you know, just little things such as, you know, milk. You know, there's nothing factual about having calcium in milk. And you grow up to believe that. And, you know, that's just little things like that. It's kind of, you know, I would say baffling, to say the least, when you find all those things out and your whole life you kind of thought that it's been this one way the whole time when it's really not true.
So you thought you were doing all the right things until you get a little research and a little bit of education. So, like, what types of things did you replace those things with? And also, I mean, how did it make you feel? Was your energy better? Did you sleep better?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I tried to be a vegetarian for 2 to 3 months. And, you know, I want to get back to doing that in the off season, because I tried to do it in the summer. And then with football coming together and everything, it was very hard. So I just try really not to eat as much meat. I'm really like a smoothie fruit type of guy. So I try to get all my nutrition and stuff in that area. But, again, I conscientiously always, always try to pay attention to the amount of meat and, like, dairy that I'm ordering or anything like that that's on the menu.
Can you maintain your weight? How do you maintain your weight in season when you eat like that?
Oh, that's not really a worry for me, man. Again, I get all my nutrition and stuff through my nutritionist, and she's definitely a huge help.
We're talking to Theo Riddick. All right, now, you also, one of the guys you reached out to was fellow running back Amir Abdullah. Now, speaking of Amir, I did have him on the show earlier this season, and he did say that he is the best-dressed running back. First off, what is your reaction when you hear that? Is he the best-dressed guy in the running back room?
I mean, you know, I love my man. You know, that's my guy. That's my guy. But I can't say it's him. I got to say it's Dwayne. You know, I got to say it's Dwayne Washington. You know, he's from Cali. He has that fashion sense. I got to say it's Dwayne. But if you're asking Amir, of course Amir is going to say Amir.
Right. Now, Theo, you remember what he said about Dwayne, though. He said that Dwayne tries, but he's awkwardly built because, quote, this is him, not me now, quote, he's tall, but he's also fat, but he's also ripped, so it's kind of weird, end of quote. So I'll get to what he said.
He's contradicting himself a lot.
Right?
You know, I was kind of confused, you know, when you said that. But, hey, I just think, honestly, it's definitely got to be Dwayne. I mean, I think Amir is up there, but we're going to have to calm his confidence down just a little bit.
No, you're right. I mean, what is it? Is he fat or is he ripped? But can you be both? Can you be fat and ripped?
No. No. That's like saying you can be, I don't even know. Like,
like saying you can be smart and dumb,
no
fat and ripped.
There's no way. There's no way you can be shredded and fat. There's no way. There's just no way.
All right, now
it just doesn't work like that.
No, it didn't seem to work like that, but it works for him. Now, he said when he got to you, he said, you're the name brand guy, which means you're automatically going to look good because you invest in it. So what's your approach when it comes to fashion?
I mean, I don't really care about clothes, man. I like to kind of save my money, to be honest with you. And I'd rather spend my money elsewhere. I'm pretty frugal, to be honest with you. So, I just try to save as much money as I can, man, to be honest with you.
No, I get that. I like that, and especially because you got another mouth to feed. Your son Theo was born, and you had a great tweet the other day when you tweeted, the panic when you realize you're out of baby formula. Lay it out for me. For those who don't have kids or are going to have kids, how severe is that panic? And then how do you go about dealing with it when it happens?
I mean, people have no idea no idea. You know, I just broke out in like a crazy sweat, to be honest with you. But it's a huge panic, man. You know, he's crying. He's slightly upset. You know that it's not gonna be the quickest road trip from the store and back. So your lady has to deal with it. So it's like a domino effect. But like you said, anybody that has little kids, they know the panic, and it's not a good one.
Theo, last thought, we ready for it? Like, my kids are now 16 and 12, so I've been there, I've done that. But I remember when we brought our son home for the first time, I didn't have that background. Like, I didn't have a lot of nieces and nephews and cousins. I was not prepared. I don't care how many baby classes that my wife made me take. I just was not ready. What was it like when you brought your son home?
Oh, man. definitely. A lot of things changed. You know, I think the biggest thing was, you know, time for yourself, you know, that kind of no longer exists. You know, he depends on you and my lady for literally everything. And that's the beauty about it, you know. And, again, it's just the time management. You know, you really have to have a schedule with what you can do and what you can't do and when you can do it and when you can't do it. So I just think, you know, staying with the structure and the schedule has definitely helped my lady and I.
I got one last question for you. That same child that I just mentioned is now a junior in high school, and he's looking at colleges. And man, it's so cliche, but it really does happen in a blink of an eye. So get ready for that. But one of the colleges that my son went to recently was Notre Dame, and he went on campus. Mm-hmm. And it's a Cali kid now. He grew up in Southern California, had never been back there, and was just blown away and couldn't wait to come back and tell me all about it. What do you remember about the first time you stepped on that campus, Notre Dame?
I think the first thing that really stood out to me was just how nice everything was put together. It's a beauty. I believe I went there during the spring, and the one thing that really stood out to me, I gotta say, was the people. And people look at me crazy when I say that, but being from Jersey, a lot of people, it's really like a hustle mentality. So people are going 1,000 miles per hour. People are less willing to just say hi to a stranger. And I remember multiple times just walking on campus and people just saying hi to me as if I was already attending there and not knowing who I was or anything. And that kind of stood out to me first and foremost. Obviously, with the football program and the tradition, I mean, how can you beat it? It's like the best of both worlds. You're going there academically. I mean, it's one of the toughest schools to get into and graduate from. And then on football, you get you're playing really top-notch competition week in and week out on national TV every Saturday. How can you beat that?
Yeah, it's funny. That was his exact reaction. That the place is just gorgeous. It's so beautiful. You've never seen anything like it. And the people were so nice. Everybody was so welcoming, and they were so nice. So we had the same reaction. Detroit Lions running back Theo Riddick joining us. Detroit at Chicago on Sunday. Theo, good jungle debut for you. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for making time. Really had fun with that.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
That was good, man. Take care. Theo Riddick. Covered a lot of ground with him. That was funny, too. I love that running back room conversation about who's the best-dressed running back. We didn't even get to Zach Zenner. So remember, it was Amir. Amir came on the program and talked about how Amir was the best-dressed of the running backs. And Theo just said, no, it's not. Of course Amir said Amir was. He said it's Dwayne Washington. I said, yeah, but Amir said that Dwayne is tall but fat but ripped, so it's kind of weird. And Theo said, how can it be both? How can you be ripped and fat? It's one or the other. It doesn't work.
Fat.
Ripped? Are you ripped or fat?
Fat.
Hey, Alvin, don't get gratuitous about it. That's not a reason for you to play that fat alarm. Just because I mentioned that somebody's quote, and it's a quote, I'm not calling somebody fat. I don't do that. That's not a reason for you to drop that fat alarm, which I know you love. That's your baby. Alvin's looking for any reason to drop his fat alarm. The fact that Dwayne Washington, I'm not even saying he is. That's not my take. That's Amir's take. Amir Abdullah.
Dwayne tries, but Dwayne is awkwardly built. So, like, he's tall, but he's also kind of, like, fat, too, a little bit. But he's also ripped, so it's kind of weird.
It's an amazing comment. He said he's awkwardly built. He's tall, but he's kind of fat, but he's ripped. Lions are fun, especially when they're coming back on Cleveland the way they did yesterday. And I'll get to the Cleveland part of that as well. So we're open right now. I'm efforting a third guest, a good third guest. Well, I'm efforting a good third guest, but we'll see who we end up with as a third guest. In the meantime, it's all you, clones. If you're on hold, I can almost guarantee you'll get through unless your name is Josh in Detroit, who is on hold, Parody Larry, who's not on hold, but probably will be soon. If your name is not Josh in Detroit and you're on hold, I can almost guarantee you'll get through. Don't hang up. When we come back, I want to talk about the Saints and the Bills. Bills Mafia, what the hell is happening there?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This guy knows I'm going to get to the Bills Mafia. He's already there. His email reads, "Hey, Bills Mafia, when you're done smashing ice chest, slamming your face into tables, and lighting yourself on fire, going to the game to only get your asses drug over the whole damn field, my team didn't even punt yesterday. No telling what y'all destroyed after the game. Who dat? Greg from NOLA." It was that bad, too. They didn't punt. Not only that, they ran it right down their throat. That wasn't Drew Brees airing them out. They ran it right down your throat. That was bad. That was a beatdown to the highest degree. But I need time to set that up. This email says, "Van Sizzle, I think the Broncos' issues can be narrowed down as follows. Number one, poor coaching. Two, inept offense. Three, demoralized and deflated defense. Four, bad special teams. Five, horrible scouting by the front office. Six, Dan in Denver." Signed, Andy from Denver. "War prayers for the face of the guy who took that proctologist dart." That was an errant throw, to be sure. I still want to get to the Saints and how good they look, and Buffalo, how bad they looked. You know, to the question of, is New Orleans really that good or is Buffalo that bad? Yes. And which Buffalo team are they? Who are the Bills really? Crazy, crazy weekend in college football, which I'll get to. In terms of the Rams, I can sum up exactly who they are and what they've done in exactly five letters. Five letters and two words. I think you know where I'm going with that. Ram it. 33-7 over Houston. And it happened quickly. So quickly that Texans Pro Bowler Jadeveon Clowney said postgame, quote, "Man, that bleep was crazy. I don't know how they did that. Do you ever think anybody would say that about the Rams? Man, that was crazy. I don't know how they did that. Like, I don't even know what hit us." The Rams come at you fast now, and I have no idea what hit us. I've never seen anything like that before. The Rams? Butch Jones, out. So Tennessee is looking for a head coach. Florida is looking for a head coach. I hate to say it, Nebraska may be looking for a head coach. All that's still ahead. "Dear Rome, we never knew how much we missed football until we had a division-leading team. We guess they're good enough to stay since they're making us look good, and looking good is what it's all about. Signed, SoCal." John in Huntington Beach, new biggest Rams fan out there. "Warn me being the most handsome clone." The most handsome clone. Is that really a title that anybody wants? The most handsome clone. It goes back to what I said to Jason Locke and Forrest. So we're in the meeting. When I do the NFL on CBS, I've got this small part of this program, of course, like the smallest part. But they're nice enough to let me come in every two weeks during the football season. So the way it works is we have a production meeting at 8 o'clock. So we're all there for the production meeting, and we talk about the show. And Drew Kalisky, who runs the show, lays out the entire program, and we all talk about what we do in the show. And then we just throw things back and forth. You know, as you might imagine, you've got really, really strong personalities. Guys who've had amazing success in that league. Boomer Esiason, NFL MVP. Bill Cowher, Super Bowl-winning coach. Phil Simms, Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Nate Burleson, played over a decade in the NFL. I mean, God, I wish you could all sit in the meeting. James Brown, legendary broadcaster. It's an amazing thing to just sit through and to see and be a part of. You would love it.
And these guys just start kicking topics back and forth, and they're kicking things around. And then ultimately they come to me and say, hey, yeah, like, so what's going on there? What's it like in L.A. with the Rams killing it the way they are? And I said, you know what? It's really no different than it was before they came back. And these guys were incredulous. Are you kidding? Look at the way they're doing it. Not only that they're winning, but how they're winning. I said, no, I get that. I understand that. You're 100% right. And what they're doing is incredible. And that's before that beatdown they laid on the Texans. I said, what they're doing is amazing, but it's a different town. It's a tough town. It's not the best sports town. Ultimately, you can win the fans over, but they're not going to bandwagon that quickly. And there was no football for a long, long time. And the Rams were away for a long, long time. I can even argue on some level, I see more Chargers gear here than I see Rams gear. But it is changing. And that win helped too. But John in Huntington Beach is the biggest example of what I'm talking about. So when I say to the guys in New York, it's coming, but it's a little bit slow in coming, but guys will come around, signed John in Huntington Beach, new biggest Ram fan out there. John will be gone as a Ram fan the next time they lose. He'll be off that bandwagon. He'll still try and say that he's the most handsome clone, whatever the hell that means. Like, who did you beat out, John? You're the champion of what? Who did you beat out? Silk? Ira? Randall? Yeah! Dan in Denver? Everybody. I've seen all your avatars, all right? The competition's not that tough, John. I've seen your avatars. I've seen your picks. And they say I've got a face made for radio. If I do, where does that leave all you? Dear Jim, I love this guy. This guy's one of my favorites. This is the only guy that I know who contributes to the program from Konkin, Germany. And has been for a while. Dear Jim, ram it. Hey, listen, this town might not be all about the Rams, but Konkin, Germany is. Jesse, I got one thing to say to you, bro. Ram it. You know, I should go to a sports update right now. But when I see a really good caller or somebody who I think really deserves to be on, I need to do that, to be fair. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Detroit. Let's go to the D. The Lions coming off a big come-from-behind victory over the Browns. So I'm going to let Josh in Detroit on. Josh feels like he's got a significant take, a game-changing take, a game-changing approach. Let's find out. Josh, you're in. I'm making the update wait for you. What's up, Josh?
Vance Mack, thanks for the vine. You heard of Papa John's slogan? Yeah. Well, I got my own, Rome. Better foam, better takes. Josh in Detroit. Can you believe that Detroit Pistons are the best team in Detroit? Honestly, though, I'll give them to the All-Star break until the bottom falls out or until the king comes out of hibernation in Cleveland.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Josh, your slogan should be better phone, same horrible takes. Better phone, same terrible takes. Josh in Detroit. Come on, man. Josh tweeted this picture the other day of him with an X. A 10, I should say. Kind of a tough habit to shake. I still think that thing is the X. It's the 10. You know why? Because you skipped the 9. I'd think 10 if I had a 9, but I had an 8. Anyway, Josh tweets a picture, and he's very proud of his new iPhone 10 and says, better phone, better takes, Josh in Detroit. Wow, bro, that's not good. And your takes aren't better. Your phone might be better, but your takes are not better. And I made a guy wait for that? The update guy? Everybody waiting on an update for that. All right, Josh. I'd go get an Android phone or something. Go get a Galaxy or a Note. See if that helps. When we come back, Saints and Bills, Bill Mafia. Now what? Where does that leave you? After that ass beating that the Saints laid on you, where does that leave you? And on top of that, where does that leave the Saints? Are they the team to beat in the NFC? Or is it Philadelphia? Or is it the Rams? All of that coming up when we return. But I do owe you a sports update, so here's the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'll tell you, it's really upset this morning. Nebraska fan. Getting a lot of contributions from Nebraska fan. And although I mentioned it in passing, it's not like I put it out there. Nebraska fans really unhappy. As an example, Rome. The Tennessee job is open. And the Florida job is open. I think you forgot to mention the Nebraska job being open too. Signed, the circle date on Husker fans' calendar of November 25th. Signed, Aaron in Omaha. Wore Grandpa Riley as a mall Santa this holiday season. I got to tell you, look, these guys know what they signed up for. It's a tough gig. They make a hell of a lot of money, and there's a lot of pressure that comes along with it. They know what they signed up for, Mike Riley especially. He's coached in the college game at the highest level. He's coached in the NFL. He knows what he's signing up for. And I have a certain empathy. Look, I've got an empathy for all things and all people. Now, I know where you probably don't for guys that make that kind of money. I'm talking about Mike Riley being a really good guy. And just stop for a minute. Just pump your brakes. I know you don't care how good of a guy he is. Good guy, go home to your family. You know, this isn't Glengarry Glen Ross. It kind of is, but...
Good father, f*** you.
Good father, bleep you. Go ahead, Alvy. Still my favorite scene of any movie ever.
Good
Not
father.
My favorite movie. Not my favorite movie. Far from it. It's a good movie. I don't even think it's a great movie. But that still is my single... I mean, literally, my favorite scene of any movie I've ever seen. And I think the scene with Alec Baldwin is maybe 9 minutes.
Good father, f*** you. Go home and play with your kids.
So I want to say... Great guy. Great guy. Bleep you. Go be a mall Santa. My point is, Mike Riley is a good dude. Mike Riley is like the best dude in college football. And to see him getting annihilated the way he was on Twitter in the midst of another beatdown was not an easy thing to see. But Nebraska fans aren't having any of it. And they have taken to Twitter. As an example, let me read you this tweet. A little bit long. At Last Place Ninja tweets, can you please touch on what the bleep has happened to the Nebraska football program and who is going to need to take over and what they need?
Stop. Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
All right, so you might not have heard that before. You might not know what that is. Last Place Ninja, what that was a tweet that was way too long. Twitter may have gone to 280, but the Rome Show did not. We're still at 140. If you go beyond 140, you get that Twitter hammer that Alvin came up with. Way too long, Last Place Ninja. Let's see if at Eric0811, who is on the same topic, can do any better. He tweets, Snagger, I am tweeting you the Monday after my beloved Huskers got blasted by an anemic Minnesota team on a short list of worst losses in the...
Hammer time. Give me back my 140!
Too much down there, man.
Same thing. Same thing. Way too long, and you exceeded our character limit. I'm not playing by Twitter's rules. I don't care if they're a 280. You keep it to 140 or less, or you get hammered. Listen, if you want to send me an email, send me an email. If you want to post on Facebook, post on Facebook. If you want to tweet, make it a tweet. I don't want your CVS receipt. Too long. That's why you both got hammered. And since you couldn't express yourself concisely, I'm not going to your take, nor giving you mine. So what you want to do, Eric, in Last Place Ninja, get back to work. Get it to 140, and then I'll respond to what you want. You see, if I were to respond right now, you'd get what you want. And then I'm not following through on my threat. You got hammered. I'm not talking Nebraska football until you can express yourself in 140 or less. Let's talk about the weekend. Absolutely brutal weekend. Brutal weekend in college football. And right when we thought that the playoff might be taking shape and form, that's not what happened. Georgia, take a seat. Notre Dame, grab some pine. TCU, now you're done. Washington, thanks for coming. Michigan State, it was fun while it lasted. Oh, and Butch Jones, grab this pink slip. Everybody knew that the stakes were high going into this past weekend, but I'm not sure that anybody could have predicted what actually went down. Number one, Georgia, crashing at the feet of Auburn, 40-17. Number three, Notre Dame, no showing in Miami, 41-8. Hell, we were a play away from number 2 Alabama losing to number 16 Mississippi State. If numbers 1, 2, and 3 all went down, it would have been an all-time weekend. Instead, we settle for just an insane weekend. And yes, we could spend a lot of time speculating about what that means for the college football playoff, but any time spent on that in early November is a time that's wasted. There's still at least 2 more and maybe 3 more chances for contenders to wipe out. In the meantime, we know that barring miracles, Notre Dame is out, Washington is out, TCU is almost entirely out, and Butch Jones is most definitely out. While the results on Friday and Saturday were a surprise, Butch being fired on Sunday definitely was not. When you're Butch Jones at Tennessee, you cannot lose 6 of 8 and expect to keep your job. You can't be 0-6 in the SEC and expect to show up to work today. You can't have a stretch where you lose 41-0 to Georgia, 15-9 to South Carolina, 45-7 to Alabama, 29-26 to Kentucky, then beat Southern Miss, and then lose 50-17 to Missouri. 50-17 to Missouri. I didn't even know Missouri still had a football team. Sorry, Austin. I didn't even know they had a football team still. Missouri lost to Purdue by 32 this year. Purdue. And you're getting clowned by them. Embarrassed by them. No wonder Butch got whacked. And even better than getting fired. Even better than firing Butch Jones is replacing Butch Jones with Brady Hoke. Hoke-a-mania is back. Hoke-a-mania is going to run wild. But I'm not here to take food off anybody's plate. No, I'm not. Much less his plate. I'm not here to celebrate a guy getting fired. It's sad. It's sad for him. It's sad for his family, for the players who want to play for him, for the Vol fans, and for everybody who enjoyed his quotes. I've said for years that today's coaches are too obsessed with winning games. Not Butch Jones. He wasn't obsessed with winning games. 14-24 against the SEC will attest to that. He was looking to win things that were much bigger than games or championships. And he proved it when he dropped this legendary quote. When we talked about winning championships, they're a champion. They've won the biggest championship. And that's the championship of life. You tell me, where else are you going to find a coach who will say that? Who will put his name to that? Or who loses to Georgia by 41 and shortly thereafter declares that the last 2 years have, quote, been some of the best years in the last 20 years of Tennessee football, end quote. Made that statement after a 41-point loss. Or where else are you going to find a coach who has this take on recruiting rankings? Quote, everyone gets into the whole two-star, three-star, four-star, five-star thing. The only five-star that we even concern ourselves with is a five-star heart. Fire Butch. No, I mean straight fire Butch. Don't fire Butch. A lot of coaches are obsessed with practice reps. Not Butch. He was into leadership reps. Quote, you don't have to get a physical rep to get a rep. You can get a leadership rep by having all the wideouts standing around and going over your progression. Hey, there's more. Let's not forget the turnover trash can. The fumble recycling bin. The interception receptacle. Or whatever the hell that thing was on the sideline. I'm going to miss that too. You might find a better coach than Butch Jones. You will not find a better quote than Butch Jones. We've come to the end of the road. But I'll take with me the memories. I will cherish them, all of them. His leadership rep was shattered, but he still has a five-star heart, and he's won the championship of life. He's freaking Butch Jones, and you're not. You didn't deserve him, Tennessee. Vol Nation, you didn't deserve him. Dude, my man said some weird stuff, didn't he? Weird stuff. He only recruits guys with five-star hearts. How about that 30-gallon Rubbermaid garbage can that was on the sideline for every game? I'm still not even clear what that was. What was that there for? Like, they ran that thing out there. They couldn't have been more proud of that prop. A garbage can on the sideline. Like, that was cool. That was fresh. Like, recruits were going to see that, much less recruits with five-star hearts. We're going to see that, like, damn, that's where I want to play. They got a trash can on the sideline that they hold up. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. Anyway, Butch, I'm not looking to dance on anybody's grave, take food off anybody's plate or any of that, but hit the road. He was single-handedly responsible for the Empty Kneeling campaign. There's a hashtag there. Or how about that time when he allegedly told a player that he, quote, betrayed the team after that player assisted a woman who had been reportedly sexually assaulted by a couple of other members on that team? How about the fact that he had a losing streak against every single team in the SEC? Now what do you do? And Vol fan, you're not getting John Gruden. Stop with that right now. You're not getting John Gruden. John Gruden is not giving up the job that he has for your job. The job that he has is about 100 times better than the job you want him to take. This guy's going to say no to all those coaching opportunities over the years and wait and wait and wait and wait for the Tennessee job. Why? Because he was an assistant there, like 50 years ago? Because his wife was a cheerleader? That's going to get him out of the broadcast booth to coach your team. Sure, it's not. Phil in Missouri is taking a shot at the Nebraska topic on Twitter. Nebraska football can be summed up in way less than 140 characters. They suck. Well, you did get that in under $1.40, Phil, so I'll give you that. Getting hammered by Minnesota is really something different. At the Real Left Hook is in on Twitter. Watch Brady Hoke win out and be named the next coach instead of John Gruden. Again, he might be, but you're not getting Gruden. You're just not getting Gruden. The guy, first of all, I'm not even sure you want John Gruden. He hasn't coached college football since 1991. But then again, could you do better than John Gruden? A John Gruden who hasn't coached any football in years or any college football since 91? Probably not. Probably not at this point. But you're not getting this guy. I love Vol fan. Vol fan's like, all right, we can get John Gruden. Oh, we can't? All right, how about Bill Belichick? Can we get Bill Belichick? No, you're not going to get Bill Belichick. Hey, how about that kid? That kid who's tearing it up for the Rams, Sean McVay. Could he come here? No. You better set your sights at somebody who you can get. Like, I don't know, maybe Chip Kelly? I'm not sure you can get him. That'd be an unbelievable hire. I'm sure you think you can get Dan Mullen. Scott Frost you're probably thinking about. Mike Riley might be available. All right, we're coming back. Hour number three. Still wide open right now. Lots to get to. Do not go anywhere. I'm Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. And this is CBS Sports Radio.